said that often if I was a professor at a college, which would, I won't say never happened, but it's highly unlikely, I would give a quiz every single class. Starting every class, I would give a quiz. And then I would throw out about 95% of those throughout the year. But I would, you know, it's always good to be, you know, to be tested once in a while to really just, you know, you can read a verse and read a verse and read a verse, but then you put it away and you kind of test yourself, right? I wonder if I can say this verse. And when you can just quote it, you know, you kind of got, and you look down and you kind of got pieces of it. It's kind of easy to do, but then when you put it away, it's a little harder. So here's the quiz this morning. January 22, 2023. What day of the week was that? For crying out loud, it's only this year. I'm not asking for 1942. So it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday, yeah. It was a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday day. It was the whole day was Sunday. Where were you sitting that day? Yeah, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? Yeah, we're pretty much where I'm sitting right now. Right, right. What did you have to eat that day? Yeah, same thing, you know, Dragon Burger and fresh cut fries if you're with Tobin at the restaurant, right? So some of us would know what we had to eat. Some of us know where we were sitting. What was the weather that day? You know, here it is. Rain may begin with brief snow and sleet, slushy snow in central Pennsylvania. So that's what it was. It was the slushy snow. So this day, so today is a weather-wise is a little better day than it was in January 22. And maybe it's a little better lunch that you're going to have this day. I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing. And you're here today. So if I ask this question again in 4 months from now or 3 months from now, you might want to take note of just where you're sitting. Do a selfie and kind of keep it on your thing so you can have that evidence that you were sitting where you are sitting today. What was the message that day? The name of the message was this: spiritual prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, not prophetic prophets, but spiritual prophets. And I told you in that message that I was coming back to you in 12 weeks with a 12-week challenge from that message. That was the 22nd of April. That's my calendar on my phone with a reminder. It's not the Easter Monday, because Easter Monday is like, we're putting a period at the end of the Easter season. Never put a period at the end of the Easter season. Dot, 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 maybe, but never put a period at the end of Easter. So forget the Easter Monday. There is no period at the end of Easter. It's continued all the way through. But the second one was this, the revisit sermon, spiritual prophets. So we're going to revisit some of that sermon today just to test us. How are you doing on that? How are you doing? Are you gaining? Are you profiting spiritually in your life? And that's really what that message was about. Am I profiting spiritually? Here's the 12-week challenge. And we started that message with Psalm 84, some of what Tobin quoted this morning. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage, on a journey, on a purposed journey. That's a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till they appear before God in Zion. And then we talked about strength to strength, stronger and stronger and stronger, profiting more and more and more and more, stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until they reach their destiny. Until they was welcomed into the heavenly realm, they were stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't know, and I made it in the message. In that message, I said, I don't know if I'm there yet, but am I getting stronger and stronger and stronger? Are you there? Are we there? Do you know that you can be there? Do you believe that you can be stronger tomorrow spiritually than you are today? You can go from strength to strength to strength. And we ask this question, I know and I believe I can be stronger and stronger, but why am I not stronger and stronger? Why don't I feel stronger and stronger? And we looked at spiritual erosion. Is there some spiritual erosion in my life? And erosion is detrimental because it takes away the foundation for the next layer. You can't build on something that's eroding away. And so we grab a hold of a spiritual truth. We grab a hold of something that Jesus has taught us in one day, in one week, or one month. And by the next month, we've kind of eroded away. It's kind of eroded away in my blocks for the next one. It doesn't have any foundation. And I feel like sometimes I'm falling apart. I'm not getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I feel more like I'm falling apart and falling apart and falling apart. And so we wanted to prevent the erosion. We wanted to prevent it from eroding out. When, in back of our barn, when Cheryl and I was in farming, the creek would come. A creek in Tioga County is a creek in Tioga County, okay? C-R-I-C-K, okay? Creek, the creek came at the bottom, and you couldn't barely get around the end of the barn, even though the creek was down over the embankment, and high waters would continue to erode that and erode that and erode that, and if we didn't do something, we weren't going to be able to drive behind our barn. Erosion, you got to stop the erosion before you can build on it. And so we walked in that message of how do I stop the erosion? Because erosion is detrimental because it takes away the foundation of the next layer. And we looked at Acts chapter 2, and we looked at these individuals that went from verse 37 to verse 47. And I don't know about you, but I want to start out at a 37, and I don't want to stop until I'm a 47. Because at 37, the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And through that whole process, clear down to verse 47, where they're praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. They were thriving in the faith. In 11 verses, they're thriving in the faith. And we looked at that in that message. We looked at, what did they do? How could they build and not get erode from off and under them? But how can they have that solid so they can build the next layers of their spiritual journey on the layers before them? Not only the generations before them, but the layers in your life before that have been given to you already, but have been eroded away. And we looked at those, the words, there was 9 words. There was a list of them on Facebook, and there was a list of them out here in the entry. It was a 12-week challenge. How are we doing on that 12-week challenge? And the words were, one was repent. And just asking yourself simply, is there something I need to make a change? Is there a change I need to make? Just to repent. Repent just means change. Is there something I need to change? Spending this time with God every day and say, God, is there something I need to repent from? Because I don't want to lose my foundation. I don't want to lose what you gave me last week. I don't want to lose what you gave me last month or last year. I don't want to lose what you gave me when I was 5 years old. And their forgiveness, and where does forgiveness play out in my life today? Do I need to be forgiven? Do I need to forgive somebody else? Where does forgiveness play out in my life? Because unforgiveness is an eroding factor. You have unforgiveness in your life, and it'll erode, and it'll erode, and erode, and erode, and you won't have anything left to build on. You'll just become this mean and nasty and this venomous person who is unforgiving. I know those types of, I have some of those in my family in the past that were unforgiving, and they were transformed into something else that was almost unrecognizable. Where does forgiveness play out in your life? And the next one was follow, and the Holy Spirit, just asking the Holy Spirit, where are you leading me today? And the Word was another. How was my time with the Word? And I purposely didn't ask, well, how's your time in the Word? But with it, it's a purposed statement there. How's your time with the Word? You and the Word together, speaking to you and you speaking to it. Do you know that it's the very words of God? Do you know that God is speaking that into you? Do you know that it's living and active? Do you know that those words in between these leather covers is actually a breath of God? And you can have a conversation with the breath of God. How's your time with the Word? I hope I never asked you, are you in the Word? I want to say, are you with the Word? How is that going in your life? And time in the Word, time with the Word, and time with the Word, and the Word with you, and watching what it'll do. It'll keep you from being eroded, and we need to be strengthened, and we need to receive what the Word has given us over the past and stay strong in that. How about fellowship? Was another word. Where do I fit in the church? And people will say, even maybe even more and more and more, I don't really need the church. That's a lie from the pit of hell, just so you know. You're buying into something that the enemy would love to have you away from the body of believers. How do I fit? Where do I fit in the church? And I know we might ask each other that time, but how much time do I spend with God asking him that? And with the word hear, Jesus, what do I need to hear you say today? What do I need to hear you say? And prayer was another word. What do I need to talk with God about? And compassion, how's my compassion level? This is how these individuals went from verse 37, cut to the heart, to solid walking with God, and God adding to their numbers every day. And they were praising God, and it was flowing out of them. It was rolling out of them in 11 verses. Now, we can go through the Corinthians and Galatians and Colossians, and we can see that the church expected or experienced some erosion. See, I don't want to be one of those. Which one of those churches do you want to be? Colossae? No, thank you. Corinth? No, thanks. Thessalonica? No, thanks. I want to be this. I want to be this type of church. I want to be this type of body, this type of individual that God can make stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. We talked about our compassion level in that message, and we talked about the gospel in that message. We talked about repent and forgive and follow and the word and fellowship and hear and prayer and compassion and gospel. And as I studied for this message again today, I found out that they're not only foundation blocks, they are also building blocks. So not only are they what God's going to build on, they are what God's going to build on those things. You remember the song, Dem Bones? Yeah? The toe bone is connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone is connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone is connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone is connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone is connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone is connected to the hip bone. Well, these are all connected. This is my new song, which I won't sing. Repentance is the foundation for forgiveness. And forgiveness is the foundation for following. And following is the foundation for the Word, and the Word is the foundation for the gospel. And the gospel is the foundation for fellowship, and the fellowship is the foundation for compassion, and so forth and so on. One is not only the foundational blocks, but they are the building blocks as well. And God says, I only want to set you strong with the Word. I want to continue to build on you with the Word. I want to continue to build on you with compassion. I want your compassion not to go away because I got more for you. And I don't want your ability to repent to go away because I got more Word for you. And you're going to need to repent so the Word can sit on the repentance that you just experienced. I want to give you more of those things and more of those things and more of those things. I want to give you more fellowship and more gospel. I want to give you more compassion. I want to give you more ability to hear Christ. I want to give you more ability to follow the Holy Spirit. I want to give you more. So I want you not to lose. So I think it's a great message, really, for the spiritual. Don't lose the experience. It's the spiritual erosion. But I don't think it stops there, and I learned that this week, that was really only a half a message. No wonder God wanted to bring it back on this day. Because I only preached half of that message. And God really challenged my heart this week. See, it's not just the foundation. They are the blocks, too. They are what I want to do in your life. They'll prevent erosion so you can build. So you can build and build and build and build. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs and autumn rains, cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until they appear before God in Zion. Luke 6 and 46, Jesus says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I say?" It just doesn't make sense to Jesus. And I'm telling you, when it doesn't make sense to Jesus, there ain't no sense to make of it. Jesus can take my junk and he can make sense of that. He can take my affliction and he can make sense of that. And he can pour that sense back into me. And I can understand why I'm on this journey, but he can't make sense of why do you say you are the absolute authority in my life, Jesus? You're the absolute authority in my life. No! That just doesn't weigh out. You can't say no to the absolute authority in your life. Because he ceases to be the absolute authority? No, the absolute authority in your life. Jesus is the absolute authority. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. But in your life, that's your choice. In your life, you can embrace him or not. One day, you will embrace him. But the greatest reward for those remain for those who embrace him now. Will you be okay with him being the absolute authority in your life? Because I think it's absolutely necessary for us to go from strength to strength to strength, to build and build and build, for him to be calling the shots in my life and in your life. Will we let Jesus call the shots? In the very next verse, he says this. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "I will show you what he is like or she is like that comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." And then he's gonna unpack that in the next verse. So let me just take verse 47 and just let me sit it over here for a minute. And we'll come back to that. Verse 48 says, this is what it's going to be like. If I get to be the Lord of your life, this is what it's going to look like. But there's this process by which you've got to interact with me. But I want to give you the end result first. And he said, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation. I'm not asking if we've ever heard this verse before, because I would be surprised if we haven't. I'm asking, are we living it? And I can sing the song, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock." I can sing that. And the rains came down and the floods came up. And as a little guy in Sunday school or any other backyard teaching or whatever, I was always more excited to speak about the guy who didn't build his house on the rock. Because you got to say, "And it fell flat!" You know, I was so more excited about that. He is a man. He is like a man who is building a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. Building is a very literal word there. It's a very literal word to build new, to restore, to repair. Often the word is used just very literally, to build a house. And so I just really, I got written in my notes, so is Jesus just my industrial arts teacher? Is he just teaching me how to nail tubefores together? Is he just teaching me how to weld? And I think it's bigger than that. I don't think he's got a shop manual here for fixing your car. I think he's got a shop manual for life. Because we know that also the building can be used figuratively, or it's about your you building, you doing something. He is the man who is building. It is our responsibility. How can you say, Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? But let me tell you about the person who will say, Lord, Lord, and do what I say. He will be building and building and building. The ING, building and building and building. Stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what this guy is going to be. And he's going to build his house or his life. His life is going to be strong. His life is going to include spiritual and relational and mental and emotional, real life, life, growing in life strength, capital L-I-F-E, life strong, becoming life strong that when life, when the torrents of life come against us, it can we remain unshaken because not only have we don't have the erosion, but now we're building on that foundation that God has given us before. And it's becoming stronger and stronger. That's what I want. Now, you're not as strong as you can be. And you're not as strong as you will be. Because the word is building. And you will build and build and build. This message is not meant to so you can kick yourself in the keister. This is a message so that we can saddle up and ride. So if you've dropped the ball before, would you just tell the enemy, no longer will I drop the ball? Would you stop letting him hound you during this message so that you're all feeling all shame and guilt? This is not the moment. This is the moment to feel, I'm going to embrace this because I am going to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And when the challenges of life come, I will be able to remain strong because I'm life strong in Christ. That's what he's saying. Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. If anybody wants a tattoo, I would recommend this one. Zoe, life. Packed full. Zoe is the word for life. It is so full. And that's why they put to have it to the full. To have it to the full. If I was going to give this an acrostic, it would be living in fullness every day. He said, I come that you can live in fullness every day. And tomorrow you're going to live in the fullness that I build on you tomorrow. And the next day and next week and next month, you're going to live more life because I'm going to give you more life because it's building and stronger and stronger and stronger in your life. Zoe, living in fullness. Every day. So back to verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Because the three steps to life that are in verse 47 will never happen if Jesus has no or is just one of the voices in your life and not the voice in your life. I don't know if I want a 12-step program for him to become the major voice in his life. Some of it's just saying to him, I want you to be the major voice in my life. But then he goes on to 47, and he does give us some of the things that we're going to need to do for him to be that voice in our life. And look what he says in 47 again. I will show you what he is like that comes to me. You want to build stronger and stronger? You want to stop the erosion? Spend time with God and go through those questions. But you want to build on that foundation? You need to come to Jesus. And I'm not talking the slang, you're going to have a come to Jesus moment. But you're really going to have a come to Jesus moment. The all-powerful, all-loving, supreme authority wants to be in your life. He's inviting you to come to him. Jesus, come to me. I love this passage I ran across this week. Push the button, please. The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus. I love it. Hey, I got a couple of disciples until I say, hey, there's Jesus. Oh, we're going over there. Exactly what John wanted to do. If you're watching The Chosen, Season 3, Episode 1, shows the heart of John the Baptist. Look at the next verse. Says, turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, what do you want? What do you want? Do you ever think Jesus would say, hey, what do you want? And then look what he says. Back, please. They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? I was like, I just want to be with you. That's what they're saying. I just want to be with you. I don't want you to fix my stuff. I don't want you to fix my life. I don't want you to fix my family. I don't want you to fix anything right now. I just want to know where you're at. Where are you staying? And look at how Jesus responds. Push the button now. Come, he replied, and you will see. Come. Come. You want to be stronger and stronger and stronger? Follow Jesus and hear him say, come. And I love that. And so they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Or the 10th hour. I just want to be with you. So we come to Jesus. Do you come there with a laundry list? Do you come? And I got to admit, sometimes I do. And I think he wants us to ask and seek and knock. I really think he wants us. But I think this passage is saying, will you just come? I'm inviting you to come close. Just sit and listen. Because look what he says in the next part of 47. He said, I will show you what he or she is like who comes to me and hears my words. That season 3, episode 1. And they were marveling over the sermon that Jesus just preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And how he was rattling them with this truth. Just a powerful moment that Jesus just said, hear my words. What do you need to hear this morning? Maybe you need to hear this. You can push the button. Maybe you just need to hear this for life. Just believe. Will you just believe? What do you want from me, Jesus? I just want you to believe. Just believe that God loves you so much that he has sent his son into this world to die for you so that you could have life and have it eternally. That you would not perish. I just want you to believe. Will you just believe today? What do you need to hear him say today? Push the button. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden in the same way. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Maybe you just need to hear, you've kind of put your light under a bushel basket because of the pressures of this world. Will you just let your light shine? Would you stop letting culture mess with your shine? Because culture is going to try to mess with your shine. Because when you shine, and maybe Jesus is just going to say, don't do that anymore. What do you need to hear him say today? He's invited you to come just to where he's at. And I love it. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like it's quitting time, Jesus. What do you need to hear today? Push the button. What do you need to hear today? Receive divine power. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received. freely give. See, now we're starting to, okay, I want to believe and I want to let my light shine, but oh man, that power that comes upon me, that power that he wants to put upon you to give to someone else, that power that will transform other lives is going to come through you and into other people. Is it okay if he puts that on you? Is he saying this morning, receive divine power? I want to put power on you this morning. I want to put power on you this morning, not just to be a human, so to speak. I want to put uniqueness on you. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to bring healing to the sick. I want you to drive away leprosy. I want you to receive this power so you can use this power. And just so you know, he said that to his disciples. So what do you need to hear this morning? Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Maybe you just need to hear, be merciful because you've become pretty crusty in your age. In this life, and this actions, and this people, and these things around you in your own life have kind of really just sucked the mercy right out of you. You need to be merciful because the Father is merciful. Jesus will never ask you to do what he is not, that he will not empower you to do. He's never asked you to believe without giving you the ability to believe. He's never asked you to let your light shine without giving you the fuel to make your light shine. He's never asked you to receive power without giving you the ability to receive that power, know where it goes. He's never asked you to be merciful without giving you the ability to be merciful. Jesus will never ask you to do something that he will not empower you to do. To believe, to let your light shine, to receive divine power, to be merciful. And 47 says this, and puts them into practice. Are you ready to put them in practice? The believing, the shining of your light, the divine power, the merciful behavior. How about repentance? How about forgiving? How about following the Spirit? How about the Word? How about fellowship? What's he saying this morning? Put that into practice, he says. Will you hear me? Will you be a man and woman of prayer? We have compassion. Have compassion. You know, this world is anemic on compassion. So if you look at enough Facebook and media, we have compassion. Will you put that into practice? Will you put the gospel into practice? I'll tell you what the guy is like. The person is like who builds on their life, Zoe type life, life to the full, living in fullness every day. I'll tell you what that guy is like. It's not the guy or the woman who says no to the ultimate authority in their life. It's the one who says yes to Jesus. And the one who says yes when he says come. And the one who says yes when he says hear this. And when he's the one who says yes when he says put that into practice now. Yeah, but Jesus, what are you going to do over here? Will you just stop worrying about tomorrow? You're so worried about tomorrow that you can't even hear me today. I want to be stronger and stronger and stronger. Let me finish with this. John 14:12, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, who will trust me, who will walk with me, anybody who will trust me, anybody who will hear, anybody who will come and hear and put what I say into practice, anybody who wants that Zoe type of life, anybody who wants life and have it to the fullest, anybody, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth right now. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And Eric, I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you the truth, Vicki. And Craig, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Anyone who does that will be doing what I've been doing. As a matter of fact, you're going to do greater things. So come, hear, put it into practice. Build and build and build. And when the torrents of life come, you will be unshaken. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. How about a new life? God, thank you for giving me another day to finish the message I should have preached on January 22. Because, Father, we don't want to just spend time not eroding. We want to spend time building as well. Because if I just work at the embankment over and over and over, I'll never have a fence or I'll never have a house. But help us to be strong and strong and stronger and stronger and stronger. And we will come to you, Jesus. And we will be like those disciples of John the Baptist. There's the guy, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus, you said, what do you want? I love that. And those two guys just wanted to be where you were at, Jesus. Jesus, I just want to be where you're at. And then I hear you invite me to come. Come sit with me. Come walk with me. And come hear from me. And come receive the power to what I tell you to be able to walk it out, God. And puts it into practice. Or we can be like verse 49 that says we don't do that and our house falls apart. Father, I want to be a 48er. I want to be one who builds the house strong. So, Father, thank you for this moment together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you did last week and what you're doing this week and what you're going to do next week and what you're going to do tomorrow and what you're going to do this afternoon. Here I stand with arms wide open, gracefully broken.